If we turn back to the passage that we read, the first passage in the Gospel of Mark, and with a focus on verse 34, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The feeding of the 5,000, it's a familiar story to us all. We can't go far throughout the Gospels without coming across it. It's one of the few accounts that are recorded in every Gospel. But under the outward miracle, there's almost a layer underneath it. A layer that points us to who Jesus is and his character. We stand back at this miracle, almost in awe at what has been done. 5,000 men, plus women and children, fed with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, fed in such a way that they are satisfied fully enough to leave what is left over on the ground for the disciples to pick up. And when we really try to process that, the extremity of it is kind of hard to comprehend. But we are not to detach ourselves from it. We're not to forget about what has happened here. We're to learn from this experience for our lives, just like the disciples were to remember who Jesus was and what Jesus had done for them previously in their lives. He said, "Do you not remember what he had done when they were in the boat by themselves and they had only 1 loaf? Remember the 5,000. How many baskets did you pick up?" We stand back with awe at this parable, not parable, this story. And our awe should be at the one who has done it. And it is to Jesus I want to direct our attention this morning. The man behind the miracle, and what that means for us in our lives as we go on today. This miracle, it illuminates who Jesus is. It illuminates who he is as the Son of God. And he is the one who fulfills Old Testament prophecies, as we shall see. And one of the key ideas that comes out of this account is found in verse 34, where it tells us the response of Jesus when he saw the great crowd there, that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep on the loose is probably something that we can all relate to. You come across them on the road, they don't know what to do. They may stay still, they may scatter, you just don't know which way they're going to go. There's no direction for them, there's no focal point for them to go to, and often they just scatter. Jesus sees the crowd here just like sheep. Sheep without a shepherd. With no direction, with no one to follow. Wandering and scattered. But Jesus does not leave them in that condition. Jesus sees them as a sheep without a shepherd. And though it is not explicitly stated in this passage, we can confidently say by what Jesus does in his response, that he becomes the shepherd to the sheep. And we'll pull out the parallels in the Old Testament, and particularly from Psalm 23, which we will sing in conclusion. So of this man, Jesus, I want us to consider the compassion he has and the provision that he brings. So Jesus as the shepherd of compassion, firstly, and Jesus as the shepherd of provision, to conclude. Jesus as the shepherd of compassion. The compassion that he has on the people that as the crowd are gathered. But his compassion is seen even at the beginning, the context that we have there. The disciples, they've been away in verse 30. They return to Jesus and they telling them all that they have done and all that they have taught. It's almost such an impression of excitement amongst the disciples as they're being sent out and they come back and they tell Jesus, here are all these things that have happened to us when we've been away. There's an excitement in the air almost. But Jesus says to them, come away for a moment to a desolate place with me and rest for a while. It says that they had no time to eat at the end of verse 31. Because they were so busy in the good and exciting works that they had to do. But Jesus reminds them, come aside. Review what has happened. Review where you're at. Restore your mind. Restore your body. And maybe that's a necessary reminder that we need to come back to again and again. We can get consumed so much with this life, things that we get so involved with. It can be things of the church. It can be things that are exciting, we're passionate about. It can be things that are dutiful requirements that we have to do. Jesus says to us, come aside for a while. Come aside with me and have rest. That's the privileges of having this day. And this day being regarded communally on the island. That people stop and have rest. And come aside to listen to what Jesus says. And we see in this story that the rest that they were hopeful of having was taken away from them momentarily because the people had been watching them from the shore. People had identified who it was. This great multitude had bet them to the spot. And this is probably the time where our compassion would have run dry. When we're wanting rest and then you're bombarded with so many other things. And we get frustrated. But Jesus does not. These persistent sheep that are following him and not allowing him to get rest, he expresses compassion towards them. And the fact that these sheep, these people followed, it highlights some form of need that they had. And it wasn't that they needed to be fed. They were looking for some sort of comfort in Jesus' words, in what the disciples were saying to the people. They ran intentionally not for food, but for teaching. And it was teaching that they got, and it was teaching that Jesus gave them in his compassion at the end of verse 34. He began to teach them many things straight away because he saw them as sheep. He saw them just like helpless sheep, not knowing where to go. But at least they were coming to the right shepherd. And Christ's compassion for them provokes action to teach. Christ looks out over them and he sees them. He sees these sheep and he wants to direct them. He wants to teach them. He wants them to know the way. Compassion is a great word when you consider its meaning. It's a deep sympathy or sorrow for someone else who has been stricken by misfortune, accompanied with a strong desire to alleviate that suffering, accompanied with some means that they would escape from the plight that they are in. And if anyone knows how stricken we are, how stricken the sheep are, it is Christ. How stricken we are today. If anyone knows how much suffering we endure, it is Christ. If anyone knows just how lost we are, it is Christ. It is Christ who knows how heavy the weight of sin is for us and how unbearable that weight is for us. It is Christ who knows truly how stricken we are by sin in our lives. It is Christ who looks out on us as sheep, helpless sheep. And he looks out with compassion today. His compassion abounds to set you free from suffering. And he knows best how to do it. He knows best how to take us from the situation that we are in. Because our situation without the shepherd is a situation where we are overwhelmed, where we are helpless, where we are imprisoned by the weight of sin. But Jesus is the one, in his compassion, in his actions, and his compassion and love towards you, that he sets you free from that weight, from that suffering. And Christ's compassion is like no other compassion. Christ's compassion is in a way individual. Because when you look through the Bible and you see this word compassion, it appears 12 times, and 11 times it is used as a reaction or action of Jesus, whether it's in circumstances that he is in, or whether it's in a story like a parable. You have the compassion of the Good Samaritan. You have the loving compassion of the father towards the prodigal son, and so on. And the only other instance is where a father pleads out for Christ to have compassion. So every time this word compassion is used, it is directly related to Jesus. So this compassion is particular to Christ, particular to this shepherd. This shepherd's compassion is like no other compassion. This shepherd's compassion is just like the shepherd that Ezekiel talks about in chapter 34. The one great shepherd that will seek out the lost, that would bring back the strayed, that will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. My servant will feed them. He shall feed them, and he will be their shepherd. A shepherd like no other, a shepherd with compassion like no other, a shepherd that can set you free from the weight of sin like no other. And it's a shepherd that looks out over each and every one of us with compassion this morning. And his compassion is abundant for each of us. Wherever we are wandering in this world, he calls us to come to him, take rest with him. Sit down at my feet and listen to my teaching. Follow my words, as we are saying to the young ones, to follow his words, to be led by this shepherd, to be led in his ways. Because we know that this world, it just leaves us hungry. It leaves us dissatisfied. It leaves us wondering about tasting all different things. It leaves us lost in many ways. But Jesus is the one that gives us direction. Jesus is the one that we can follow with confidence. And he is the one that will give us satisfaction like no other. Jesus is the one that will give us rest. And he set out to give the disciples rest, but what he gave was rest to the entire multitude. The 5,000 plus women and men all had rest for that brief moment under his teaching, under his provision. His compassion drove him in action. To feed the people, to teach the people. He's a shepherd of compassion. He's a shepherd that provides an amazing provision. Secondly, the shepherd of provision. And the provision is of food, but it is primarily of teaching, as we have seen. He has sought to teach the disciples. He seeks to teach the people. And he has more to teach them. He asks the disciples and turns to them. He tells them to feed the 5,000. How can they do such a thing? This vast quantity of people, it's going to cost 200 denarii, which is a year's wages for them. How on earth can they afford to feed these people? Because the true number of the people is expected to be about 10 to 15,000, when you include everyone. And the little food that was in this desolate place is collected. 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what he does when he receives this small quantity is he tells the people to sit down in the grass in groups. And what you don't get from the English is that what is implied by that sitting down is to prepare for a meal. He's preparing everyone for an intentional banquet. Sitting in groups like they are, they're going to receive feeding. The word implies to recline, to get ready for food, to get ready, prepare yourself for a banquet. And that's sitting down. Jesus is going to provide a feast for them in a place that is described as desolate. This deserted place where there is barely anything for them to eat, Jesus will provide for them. And from that, people make a parallel between Jesus and Moses. He is the one that provides bread in the wilderness. Jesus gives them food in abundance when they're in this desolate place. Moses himself was a shepherd to the people of Israel. Jesus becomes that greater than Moses figure to feed the people in their need. And as you read through this account, you'll also notice that they sit down in the green grass, which is a strange comment to make in many ways. Because they're sitting in the green grass, they're of course sitting at the water's edge, and they of course have this shepherd figure, Jesus, before them. And it immediately recalls all the imagery of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, where the Lord is one who gives the people satisfaction so that they have no wants. They sit down in green pastures at the quiet waters. His teaching leads them in paths of righteousness. And yes, the difficulties of life may come in various forms. But the shepherd is there to comfort us. And what a comfort that is. This shepherd furnishes their tables with provisions and is a great blessing to the people that leaves their cups overflowing as their baskets seem to have been. Jesus, as the shepherd that looks out over the people, becomes the shepherd of Psalm 23 and the fulfillment of that psalm. The fulfillment of Ezekiel's shepherd, that one shepherd that is like no other. And it is the same Jesus that looks out over this church, over this community, over this island. He is the same sheep that will continue to provide for his people like no other. And here's the thing. Do we think we have the resources to feed our communities? We always feel like we're lacking. We're always looking at the resources that we have as a church to feed our communities. That's why I read the second passage. Because we can at times be so consumed with the situations that we are in. Just like we're in the boat of the disciples. We look like there's not much for us. There's not much there even. There's not much resources to sustain ourselves. Never mind everyone else. What's a loaf between so many? What impact can we have on our community when we don't have what we need? When we don't have the resources? Well, what does Jesus do? He brought them back to remember what he had done previously. He brought them back to the great story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, which is in between the two passages that we read together. Next time, remember what I have done for you and the people already. Many of you may know of great stories of what the Lord has done in this community and in this island. It's mighty provision to the people. The people were abundantly fed from the riches of that shepherd's grace. But it feels like today there are so few in the boat, doesn't it? It feels like today that we only have a little portion. And for the disciples in the boat, the few that were there and the little that they had, they're discussing it between one another. And they're wondering what to do. Probably pointing the finger and blaming who was that. Who only took the one loaf? And was it because Jesus wasn't working that they only had one loaf? No. What it boils down to in the disciples, it was they had a lack of faith in Jesus. They didn't turn towards Jesus. They're reasoning it like the world does. Do you think Jesus could have provided for the disciples in the boat? Of course he could. Yet just the disciples themselves had seen the 5,000 fed plus, the 4,000 fed plus. Jesus is saying to them, have you not seen, have you not heard what I have done already? And you're worrying about this little that you have here and the situation that you are in now. Expect me to provide for you. Trust in me. Give me what you have, the little that you have. Give it to me and I'll do great things with it. It's a challenge for each of us in our lives. A challenge for the church even today. When we feel like there is so few of us and we have so few resources. Well, what happened in the feeding of the 5,000? The Lord was given everything that they had. The few fish and loaves that they gathered together. Lord, it's yours. You take it and we trust it to you. Just devoted to God. Jesus says to them, remember what I did. Remember what you brought me. Remember who I am. Remember who I am. Trust me with what you have. You brought me so little. There was barely enough for you to have a little that has satisfied you abundantly. And the multitude sat down and listened to me teaching. Now, it's a great blessing if we can have that personal knowledge. If we can look back in our lives and see God at work in it. And workings that where he provided for us in means where we thought he couldn't. ways that we could never have imagined. From these experiences, we should take our assurances and have our confidence that he who provided when we were in so much need will continue to provide for us. Remember who he is and what he has already done. Today we may feel so bare. We may feel like we have so little. We may feel so unprepared for what lies ahead. But the Lord can provide for you, just as he has provided for you in years past. And he will provide with the riches of his compassion. He will provide for the multitudes that come to be fed and taught from him. And yes, he may not give us exactly what we want. But did the people gathered there want more than fish and bread? They probably did. We like all the added extras. But did the people sit and enjoy the best meal they ever had? No, they didn't either. Were they left hungry? No, they weren't left hungry. It was just what they needed. At the right time, they needed it. And it was abundantly sufficient for them. Jesus knows our needs. He knows what we need. He knows how to meet our need. It may not exactly be in the ways which we want, but is it certainly sure that it is what is best for us? He is the shepherd of compassion. He is the shepherd of provision. He is a shepherd that has laid down his life for the sheep, which was the greatest act of his compassion towards us. And in that laying down of his life has provided the greatest of all provisions for each of us. The shepherd of compassion, the shepherd of provision. I have provided for you abundantly before. He is saying, I will provide for you again. You have seen them. You have heard the stories. You know it in your lives, I pray. Do you not remember? That's what he said. Do you not remember who I am and what I can do? I pray these thoughts would be blessed to each of us. We'll conclude by singing in Psalm 23. Scottish Psalter version speaks of that great shepherd like no other. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. And down to the greatest provision that this compassionate shepherd will have. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. We'll sing these verses to God's praise. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul he staff me comfort still. My table, Lord, has furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be.
Conclude in prayer. Our Lord and our God, who exceeds and abounds in compassions and provisions, may we know the riches of your grace. May we give of the little that we have, and may we draw near to you with confidence that you will continue to provide for us, for all those who trust in you and are led by the Good Shepherd, who leads us to our dwelling place, who will rest with him forever. Bless us as we part, watch over us. Bless the preaching of your words this evening. Forgive us our sins, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.